Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, if you would stand with me, we want to dismiss our children to Sunday school at this time. And I've asked Sister Jenkins to come and preach the Word of God this morning. She's been a part of this family for a lot of years. She's been a missionary to Nigeria, pastor in Australia, and just a great prayer warrior and someone who takes this walk very, very seriously. Amen. And over the last several years, I've had a number of phone calls from Australia. Pastor, what do I do now? And amen. And she's gone through a baptism of fire like all of us who want to be a part of ministering will have to go through. And God's not done with her yet. And so would you open your hearts and your minds to the Word of God as Sister Jenkins comes and ministers to us.
Praise the Lord, everybody. You may be seated. Sister Karen sends her greetings this morning and her love, and she really wanted to come to camp and come visit everybody and give you all hugs herself. And at the last minute, she got a phone call that she had to work, so she couldn't, but I know she's here in heart and spirit. So she says hello to everybody and that she misses you greatly. I'm a little taken back with Pastor and what he said. I'm still a little warm here. But God is good. God is great. Actually, the best asset that Brother Vanderkoy has really got is Jesus. And he's been a great help to me in Australia. He helped with the church. He was on the mission field when his wife got sick, and they came home, and she ended up having a brain tumor. And while she was sick, they were able to come visit our church, and that's how I got to know the family. And I was able to minister to them, and the church was able to minister to them. And so he's here now, and I know that we're ministering to him now, and I just thank the Lord for that. God is wonderful, and yesterday Pastor asked me when we were out if I would preach today, and I thought, okay, God's had given me something, and I'd been chewing on it for the last month, and I thought, okay, and so when I got home yesterday, where I was staying over at Sister Smith's, I said, do you mind if I have a key to the church, and I came over here, and I was working on it, and it just seemed like nothing came together. And I thought, okay, I've had days like this before. And so I thought, I'll work a little bit more tonight. And I put it down. And then when I picked it back up again, it still didn't come together. And I thought, oh, great, it's going to be one of those nights. And a lot of times I'll get up in the middle of the night, you know, those sleepless nights. And, okay, God, what do you have? You know, where are we going? And after getting up about three times in the middle of the night, and it just didn't come. And so this morning, about 5 o'clock, God began to speak to me. And that psalm that Brother Schumacher opened with, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" God wanted me to speak on fear this morning. And I just thank the Lord how he brings everything together. And before I start, I'd just like to say I'm ready to cry because it is so good to be home. This is home. And there isn't a presence like this anywhere in the world that I have found. The presence of God is always with us, but when it's your family and the ones that you love and the ones that love you, that are up here worshiping God and praising God and moving in God and ministering to one another and loving one another, there is nothing like that. And I've been in many churches, and I have not found it anywhere else but in Racine, Wisconsin. And this is home, and I love you, and it's good to be home. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me and turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want to say thank you to Brother and Sister Schumacher for the time that you spent with us and for allowing me to be in this pulpit today. I am not worthy to be here. You know, the youth ministered and preached a message, and that wasn't the youth group, that was the church. That was the church. And that message that they gave to us is in this church, it's to this church, and it's a part of this church. And I just thank God how they minister, and you haven't seen anything yet. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. This is Paul talking to a young man that he mentored, a young man that he put himself into, a young man that he wanted to lead when he was gone. And he said, stir up that gift that God has given you. And we think that that gift is one of the gifts that by the laying on of hands that God gave. But I say to you today that God has given every one of us the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we need to be lifting up our hands and stirring up that gift that is within us, because we are living in a day that we've never seen before. And you think it's coming now. It's going to be worse, like no man has ever seen. Those plagues and what mankind is going to go through, and just the lead. A lot of people say, well, we're not in any of the tribulation yet. There's countries where the enemy has come in and where military has come in and shot pastors in the pulpit and killed and burned churches and the church people and taken them out. They know what some tribulation is. Just because it's not the great tribulation, the world is turning against God and it's turning against the church, and that's you and me. And now is the time more than ever that we stick together and we become one in the spirit, one in the mind of God, and in a unity like you've never believed. When you see someone getting weak standing next to you in the spirit, you give them a call or you give them a hug and you pray for them. Now is not the time to run this way and run that way, going to and fro, as the Bible says. Now is the time to come together like we've never come together before. Lift one another. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, even the more so when you see that day approaching. Jesus is coming, and he's looking for a church. He's looking for a bride without spot or wrinkle, and he's looking for a heart that wants to put him first, not halfway, not standing at the window and looking out, but at the door covered with blood. And I ask you today, do you have the blood on your heart? Have you been baptized in Jesus' name? Yes, you may have had to pay a price, and there is a price for walking with God. Nothing is cheap anymore. David wouldn't take some land. He wouldn't take it without putting a price before it. He knows that when you have something good, that yes, it's worth something. Even if it's a hidden treasure, it's worth something, and there will be a price to pay. And if we pay the price through our sacrifice and suffering, God notes everything. Nothing is missed by the eye of God. He watches us. For verse 7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony. Don't be ashamed of what God has done in your life. Don't be ashamed of that testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, he tells Timothy. But be thou partaker. Be a partaker of the afflictions. Don't run from the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Schumacher, would you pray?
Lord, we thank you for your word and for the presence of
Amen. You may be seated. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, you don't have to turn to it. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We have to know what to fear. Not who to fear, but what to fear. The beginning of wisdom, fearing God and the things that God displeases, dislikes, those things. We want to please God. We want to do the things that God wants. And so the beginning of wisdom. And we have to get that wisdom because he that winneth souls is wise. Chapter 3 in Proverbs and verse 25. It says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall keep thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. The Lord is going to keep our confidence. He's not going to let us fall, church. If we were walking the ways of the Lord and do the will of God, he is not going to let us fall. He's got a purpose and a plan for each one of us. And he already directs our paths and our steps toward the way that he wants. If he's directing us, if there's something in that path, he's right there. He's put angels in charge of us, over us. And that if there is a problem in that path that he has put us there, it's for a purpose. Yesterday, someone talked to me about the things that are going on in the world today and how they were afraid. And I thought, no, it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing that what our government has done. They've taken the Constitution away from the people. They've taken the rights away from the people and began to dictate what is right in their sight and not the Constitution's sight and not God's sight. And yes, it's a sad thing. But it's not something to fear. We have to fear the things of God and what God wants, but not the things of this world. We do not. God has helped us to overcome this world. We've got more in us than what's in the world. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater is he that is in you than what's in the world. And when you read these things that are in the newspapers or you hear the news on TV or wherever you get your information, you do not have to fear him. All you have to do is say, Jesus is coming soon. I got to be ready, and I got to take somebody with me. This is a time of excitement because in the end days, there's going to be signs and wonders in the earth. The earth is already groaning and reeling and travailing because of the sin that's in it. But here's the church. Wow, we've got joy. We've got power. We've got peace. We've got healing. We've got deliverance. We've got the name of Jesus to go with us. And the kids of God, the people of God, are going to do exploits in their God because he gave us the power to do it. He gave us the wisdom. And more than anything, he gave us the word that we can take with us wherever we go. We may not have it in written pages, but we can put it down in our heart. Do you know that when Jesus was tempted, yes, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. But I believe that that wasn't just for his temptation meeting Satan. I believe that was for the ministry that God called him to do. But when he was tempted by the devil, what did he do? He used the word of God. He did not have to really do much. He just spoke the word. The word itself is life. The word itself is powerful. The word itself is truth. But when he had to go before Calvary and he had to subdue his flesh, that was where the struggle was. And that's where it is today, church. You know, Satan comes and we can blame Satan for this and we can blame Satan for that. But I'm telling you, this flesh in this last day has got to be under control. And we've got to know who we are. Just like the song, we've got to know that we are the child of God, that we are living for God. We are not living for this world. This world has tainted things. it has colored things. And you know, it's like that frog that you stick in the cold water and he doesn't mind it. And you begin to turn the heat and all of a sudden he doesn't even know that he's been cooked. And that's how the church is going to become if we don't stay on our knees and keep that connection with God. There's got to be some kind of connection that you have personally. You can't lean on your husband, and you can't lean on your wife, and you can't lean on your kids' experience. But you have got to have an experience yourself, and it's got to be daily with God. You've got to be able to talk to God and know that He answers you. And He does answer. He loves you more than anything in this world. You belong to Him. He has put His arms around you. He has carried you this far. Look at the things that this church has gone through. And when I say the church, I'm talking about each one of you. There's been a price, and not one of you have not paid a price. And you are still here. You are still worshiping God. You still love God. What do you think that does to God? That thrills God. That encourages Him to do more for you than you've ever thought of. He knows the desires of your heart, church. He knows what we have need of. When I came home and I was helping my mom when my dad was sick, and I thought, man, I'd like to fly again. It'd been so long since I flew. And I thought, I don't have time. All I had time to do was drive a car and go and sit with my mom. And so that's what we did for almost a year, every day. And all of a sudden, I met someone, and I don't even remember how I did it, God. And there was a plane for sale, and it was a small plane, and it was affordable. In fact, it was cheap, and I thought, oh, boy, what's wrong with it, you know? And when I went to see it, I would say it was probably about a 9 out of 10. And I was, wow, God, what are you doing? And I thought, well, I can't afford it. And then all of a sudden, God made a way that I could get this plane, and then God made a way that I could put it into a business, and God made a way that I could fly up here and see you guys, you know? It was beyond my highest expectations. You know, it wasn't even really a dream, because it was one of those dreams that, nah, it's not that important. But yet it was something in my heart that I missed and I really wanted to do. And here God opens a door, and I ask you, how many of you have something in your heart that you've really wanted to do? You know, and you've, maybe it's not quite that important, or maybe it's just out of reach, and maybe it is out of your reach. But God can do anything. God can make a way for anything. And I'm telling you, that's how much God loves you. If we could only see the love of God, and when we stand up here and we worship God and we give ourselves to God, that's just like those prayers that put money in the bank and that you're building up. God says, look at my child. Look at David. Look at King David and the life that he led and the shortcomings that he had. And yet God said, there goes a man after my own heart. Just because we fall down, we make mistakes, but we get back up again and we come right back to the altar of God. And we turn and we pray, and God, forgive me. Forgive me. Help me. You know, there's not a problem that you have that you can't overcome with God. Amen. With God. There's not anything that is impossible with God. But when the world comes in like it's doing right now, and it's telling you that you can't say that or you can't do this, I can't wait. You know, I can't wait to be the first martyr. And I'm not going to go out and try to get my head cut off. And I'm not going to go out and try to get in jail. I don't like jail. But I do like the word of God. And Peter and John said, you know, what is it better, that I listen to man or I listen to God? And that's a choice, church, that we're going to have to make. And if we have fear in our heart, where we're afraid to say to our neighbor, can I pray for you? Or if we're afraid to speak the truth, I'm telling you, pastors are running today. They're running away from truth. They're running away from holiness. They're turning the church around because it's easy, or because they're afraid they're going to lose their numbers. It's all over. It's everywhere. Saints are running today because I don't like what the pastor said. I don't know that I can do what he says. I don't think he's right. I don't know if he hears from God anymore. Saints are running. Paul had that problem in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 7, he said to the Galatians, he said, you did run well, you did, but who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calls you. You did run well. That's like being left at the window and not going through the door. It's like coming to the altar and not reaching God. It's right like coming to church and just sitting in the back, and I'm not speaking to anybody, but just sitting in the back so you can escape early and not even touching your brother or your sister. Who did hinder you? I don't think it was the devil. Remember that flesh thing? It gets in the way. And we got to keep it under control. We got to keep our mind under control. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Everybody, I think, knows this scripture. I'm really talking about fear, because there's a lot of things that we fear. We fear not having a meal because we don't have the money to buy food. We fear about not having a job because they're laying off at the company. We fear that maybe my husband or my wife is looking at somebody a little too sweetly. We fear that the kids are kind of getting in the wrong crowd. We fear that the doctor is going to give us a report that it can't be corrected. We fear that if we say something, maybe somebody won't like us. We have fears, church. It's not just on the outside of the church. It's on the inside of the church, and it's on the inside of the heart. And Jesus says, through Romans, Paul, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, chapter 12, verse 1, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. That's what the world system is doing. It's trying to put everybody in a box. It's trying to be global. I know I've talked about this years ago, coming back from Nigeria, when their TV news was all, we are one. We are one. And it's okay to be one if one is for God. Amen. But when you're going down the wrong way, amen, it's not going to be okay. Amen. And it says, be not conformed to them. But some people fear, and they don't want to get out of the majority, even if the majority is wrong. But we are a peculiar people. We are God's treasure, church. We are his people, called by his name. He brought us out. He brought us out. We were in a bondage situation. I don't want to go back into it. And I don't know how many of you would want to go back into it. If you've come out of drugs, if you've come out of other things, if you've come out of alcohol, if you've come out of bad marriages or bad relationships, whatever it is, I don't think you want to go back to it. And sometimes we can creep back into it and we don't even know it. We can sit on Sunday morning and talk with our friend in the pew and forget to talk to Jesus. It's creeping back. It starts in the pew, and then it's out the door, and then it's really bad. Or it's in the next church, and oh, they do this. I found this. I'm telling you the truth. I found that if a pastor doesn't preach a standard that I'm used to, it's easy to use that as an excuse. It is. It's like, oh, they do that? Oh. Who? What's this say? It says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is a constant, continual walk. It's not just a going to church walk. It's not just when I'm around the saints walk, and when I get in the house, I can do something different. Or when I go on vacation, I can let my hair down and maybe cut it an inch and put it back up and nobody will know it. Nothing is hidden from God. And you know what? If we stay away from God long enough, nothing is hidden from the saints. The sinners are running too. They're running. They come into church and they hear the word of God, if we can get them here. And they're either running in or running out. And I want to see them running in. I want to see them running to the altar. But we got to know who we are. And we got to know that we stand with the Lord. And what we're not serving ourselves, and whatever we are, it's the Lord. If we walk in the Lord, you know, they told me before I go on the mission field to make sure it's God. Amen. Make sure it's God. Because if you're going to have problems, you want to be able to say, it's okay. God called me to this place, and I know it's going to be okay. And it's no different with the church. If God called you to the church and you got problems, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. There are changes that take place in our life, in our work, in our homes, and in our church. And I'm telling you, it's going to be okay. God is in charge of this thing, and we don't have to fear. You know, I was reading this morning about Elisha and Elijah. And when Elijah was getting ready to depart, and God told him to go get Elisha and say, you know, you're going to give him the mantle and everything. They finally got to their last destination, and there was water. And old Elijah, you know, he takes his mantle on, you know, and it all. And it says that a little ways away were 50 prophets, sons of the prophets, and they were watching. And so right after that, they went through, and then that's when God took Elijah, and the mantle fell. And I was trying to find if Elisha put it on at that time, but it doesn't say that. He carried the mantle. And when he went back to that water, and he says, well, if I've got that power too, God open it. And he took that mantle, and it was open. And you know, that's when the 50 sons of the prophets saw that church. And then they went to Elisha. When there's changes that are taking place, people are watching. But you watch the power of God. When God gives a mantle, it's God. And you don't have to question that, because God is in charge. And God isn't going to do anything that's going to destroy, because he builds. It's the devil that comes to steal and to lie and to kill and to destroy. And you don't have to fear the things that are going to take place, whether it's in your home, in your church, in your job, or in the world. You don't have to fear. God has given you not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and a sound mind and power. But we just have to remember that we have to keep feeding it through the word of God. and through the worship of God coming, and through the witnessing of God, and doing what God wants us to do, his perfect will. I used to say perfect will and permissive will. But why would anybody just want a permissive will? Why would anybody? If it's not his perfect will, is it really his will? The day that we sell out is a day that there's going to be so much joy and power. And I'm not saying that none of you have sold out. I'm just saying that there's a time coming that it's going to make it a little bit harder. And the only way that we can go through that together is by prayer and fasting and seeking God and staying together in one mind and one accord. Because there is a power in one mind and one accord. There is a unity. And God loves unity. When there was fear, when Jesus was going to go to be crucified, you know, we all say that Peter ran and denied him. And we all look at that. But if you read the scripture, all the disciples, all the apostles fled. It says they all fled. If you feel like that, if you've done that, look what Jesus did. He called them all back. When he was resurrected, he didn't leave them out. He called them all back. God will never leave you nor forsake you. But if you flee, you know God has your number. He's got your name. He's put his name on you. And he's not going to let you go. In him is all our hope. In him is all our strength. In him is everything. God is in this place. Still. And he wants to talk to us today. He wants to empower us today. If you feel like you've been a little bit weak, if you feel like maybe God let you down, God never lets us down. He never lets us down. But if you feel like you've let God down, and you need to make some things right with God, you know, you don't need anointed preaching. You just need truth, because Jesus is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the light. And you don't need yelling and screaming, but the word of God, you can just come to God. He says, come, let us reason together, that he can take those sins and make them white. I'm asking you, in the time this church, it's coming. It's going to be hard in the world. This is a safety. It's a sanctuary. It's a place of peace. But when you can't get to the house of God, God has put it in your heart. And all you have to do is call the name of Jesus. And he is there. Whether it be in times of need, in times of want, he is there. And he loves you. That's all I can say. Is God loves you. Any situation that you have is not too big for our God. Can we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just one last scripture. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. People are carrying weights today, church. They're carrying a lot of things that we can just give to God. God wants to carry. He says, cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. He just wants to take everything and show himself. When we feel that we're in our weakest time, he wants to be strong in us. It was awesome what the kids were saying today. Being dust and Brother Bailey, you know, we're just dust. I heard one time somebody said glorified dust. And God has taken it and formed us in his image in that way which pleases him. And he says, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. I did it again. I repent. Just lay it aside. Give it to God. I have found in my life that there are things that I have not been able to get over, and I had to give them to God, and God helped me get over them. There are things that, yeah, I can get over. You know, I don't have to run to the refrigerator every time my stomach growls, you know. I mean, there are things I can learn how to keep my mouth shut. It's hard. It's hard sometimes. But I can learn, you know. But the things that I can't do on my own, God has always been there. He has always been there. So lay that sin aside. And if you can't, ask him. Give it to him. You want to be ready for this rapture that's going to take you out of this world. And you don't want anything, spot or blemish, to be upon you. And you know what? Let me just tell you this. When you have a spot or blemish, then there's a guilty conscience. And why carry that weight? Amen. Why carry it? Amen. And let us run this race with patience that is set before us. And this is how. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And who did he do that for? He did it for you, Brother Kevin, Brother Dixon, Sister Heidi, Brother Scott. I'd have to name all of you, and me too. He did it for us. Because he loved us so much. And because he loves you so much that he will go through it with you. And he will carry you when necessary. He will keep you. He will keep his arms around you. You have angels around you. You have protection. You have mercy. And most of all, you have the blood. You have forgiveness. You have the word. You have truth. You have him.
Amen. How many are glad she got up at 5 o'clock this morning? I don't want to keep you, but this is so strong on my heart. There were 400 men with David. They came back home to Ziklag. They saw their homes burning, all of their family, all of their flocks. Everything of value was taken. The men started cutting themselves and crying until they couldn't cry anymore. And then they finally turned to David and said, if we wouldn't have been out, we could have been here and saved our families. And they started to pick up stones. When things don't go well, sometimes you blame the authority. And David didn't argue. He simply said, excuse me, let me go encourage myself in the Lord. And I can see this picture. He walks a few yards away and he starts worshiping God. And all of a sudden, all 400 minds are changed. And they say, why are we going after David? He's not the enemy. Would you go and talk to God and see what we're supposed to do? And so he does. Puts on the ephod, and God says, pursue, overtake, and recover all. And in just a little while, they get everyone back safe and sound. They not only get all of their possessions, but they also get all of the loot that these people have taken over the years. They become wealthy because instead of going after the flesh, they went after the spirit. What is the enemy taken from you? A child? A relationship? Your joy? A ministry? You know what God's saying? Pursue, overtake. And recover all. Make your way to a place where God can help you get back what perhaps you have lost.